in a sort of oneness with nature. I think that's quite different from the Second Symphony, which is in turn quite different from the First Symphony. So the first few symphonies are definitely exploring these issues from different perspectives. And I think he gets these different perspectives from his experience of his spiritual upbringing, from his huge interest in philosophy and literature. One might mention Nietzsche, Schopenhauer, and also a little known German philosopher called Fechner, who explored exactly the same or very similar ideas, the ideas of life after death. Is there existence after death? If so, what, you know, what form does that take? So there's a whole panoply of ideas that come to play in Mahler's creative process. And the Second Symphony is offering, I think, one perspective. It's a huge perspective, but it's one perspective amongst others that appear in his early symphonies.
He doesn't want it to be a Christian resurrection. He doesn't want it to be a Jewish resurrection. He wants it to be a universal, creed-free resurrection. He wants it to be a way for the whole of humanity to look at the meaning of life and death and to try to come to terms with the purpose of life on earth and with how we cope with bereavement and how we cope with renewal. And that is something of what he's trying to tell us in this work.
Thank you very much. Norman de Brecht, Jeremy Barham, thank you. And thank you.
James Jolly there with tonight's Proms Plus intro, recorded earlier this evening at the Royal College of Music in London. And just a reminder, you can hear tonight's prom of Mahler's Second Symphony online via the Radio 3 website anytime you like for the next 7 days. Or you can hear it on air here on BBC Radio 3 on Monday afternoon at 2 o'clock.
It's about sharing the music that we both love and putting them together.
There really has never been a gig like this, I think, because there'll be fans of both sorts of music, from classical music to some of the artists we play on Six Music, and I think we're all in for a surprise. I'm Steve Lamacq.
And I'm Tom Service.
We may come from different ends of the radio dial, but Radio 3 and Radio 6 Music share a common passion, music.
Join us live on both stations for the Six Music Prom. We'll have live music from the Stranglers, Laura Marling and Kerris Matthews, all performing with the London Sinfonietta.
Six Music and Radio 3 present the Six Music Prom.
Monday night on BBC Radio 3 at 10:15.
BBC Radio 3, well, Wednesday evening saw the culmination of the BBC Prom's Inspire Young Composers competition with a concert of the winning entries. Here's Andrew McGregor.
Some of the nation's brightest young composers, aged 12 to 18, are here at the Royal College of Music in London, exploring their musical boundaries and finding out for themselves what it might mean to be a 21st century composer. It's the 15th year of the BBC Proms Inspire Young Composers competition, which offers a world-class platform with which to reach an audience. This year there were 150 entries. Five young composers have won a performance at the BBC Proms, a broadcast here on BBC Radio 3, and a much-coveted BBC commission. Now, there are composition workshops as well to help some of our young composers explore musical possibilities, and not least the chance for the winners to have their music rehearsed and performed by the Aurora Orchestra and its conductor Nicholas Collin. I caught up with him earlier to ask whether he was impressed by the standard of entries this year.
Well, I've been involved with this. I think this is my sixth year, and every year I have to say I'm astounded by the level of writing. It really is extraordinary to think that everyone involved in the competition is under the age of 18. It's surprising, I have to say, but very, very encouraging for the future of music in this country.
And did you see quite a big division between the 13-year-olds and the 18-year-olds? You'd expect to see a degree more experience and maturity.
You see a difference probably in style more than anything, but a 13-year-old can still write with incredible enthusiasm and joy of music. And in fact, there is one 13-year-old in this group, and his piece is very, very accomplished and joyful and beautifully written.
Real imagination.
Absolutely, exactly, yeah. And the imagination comes at all stages of youth, I guess.
And what about the ensemble itself? Because the Aurora is a very young ensemble. It must help quite a bit when it comes to actually interacting with the composers and performing their music.
I think it's probably nice for them. I think it's nice for the young composers that they are working with players who are although we're not of the same generation, probably the next generation. So they get to sort of understand us a little bit more, perhaps, and empathise with us and vice versa.
What about your role as a conductor? Because such an important part of this whole event and this process is the way in which you're able to work with the composers themselves.
I think for a lot of them it's potentially, I don't know, but it might be a slightly daunting experience hearing their pieces played by a professional ensemble. So I suppose as a conductor you also have to try and sort of broach that conversation between the players and the young composers and make them feel at home and comfortable, and also occasionally try and point out things that could be done in a more efficient or easy to read or more fruitful way, and try and sort of encourage them as much as possible.
Nicholas Collin, conductor of the Proms Inspire Young Composers Competition. And the first piece we're going to hear from the winners' concert is by Thomas Brown. He's one of the winners from the senior category for 17 to 18-year-olds. And I asked him about his piece, Recomposed Baroque.
Thomas Brown, I'm 18 years old, and I was currently at Cheetham School of Music, which I've just left, and in September I'll be beginning composition studies at the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland.
Now, Thomas, you've been composing for some time from the sound of it. When did you start? What actually got you started?
I was just doing little bits and pieces when I was younger, and then I first started composing a bit more seriously when I was at secondary school, probably around the age of 12, 13, something like that.
When it came to the competition for this Inspire Day, what did you have in mind? Did you have an idea that you already wanted to get out on paper, or did you just come up with something specially for this occasion?
Well, I'd already had a piece that was written before that. The piece is inspired by Max Richter, because he wrote the Vivaldi Four Seasons Recomposed. So it's inspired by that, really. And it was just a piece that I thought would be suitable for this competition. It's quite different, which is what they were looking for.
You've called it Recomposed Baroque. Are there recognisable quotations? And why have you chosen particular composers or snippets of music for it?
Well, I chose quite recognisable pieces. I chose the Badinerie and Polonaise and the Double from Bach's Orchestral Suite No. 2. And then there's other times where it's not as recognisable, such as with the Handel quotation that I used from The Messiah. And I've also used bits from a lesser-known composer called Bieber, who did a bit of work with polytonality and some extended techniques, which I've used on the cello.
So when you recomposed these pieces of Baroque music like this, what have they become? How would you describe the overall result, the finished article?
It takes you through a lot of things. The opening's quite minimalist, actually. And then after that, it brings in a big Bach quotation, actually, from the Badinerie. And then after that, it kind of goes through a few different themes, and then suddenly it's quite slow before it builds up again, which you'll hear in the piece.
I think we're going to hear it straight away. Recomposed Baroque by Thomas Brown. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bach, Bieber and Handel amongst the composers recomposed by 18-year-old Thomas Brown. That was his piece, Recomposed Baroque. And the next work we're going to hear is by Lucinda Rimmer. She's one of the winners in the junior category for 12 to 16-year-old composers. She's called her piece Sunset Dance at Mencora.
The initial idea was based around the GCSE music brief, which was a piece of world music or inspired by another culture. So I did some research looking at music from all kinds of different cultures, and I got quite interested in the ideas that we have about Egyptian music, because we don't actually know for sure what ancient Egyptian music sounded like, and this is my take on what I think it might have been like.
So as you say, we don't actually know how ancient Egyptian instruments sounded. Have you had to be creative and come up with sounds that perhaps the members of the Aurora Orchestra won't normally have made on their instruments?
I've used the oboe and the flute to recreate, again, the reedy sound from the oboe and the more windy sound of primitive flutes, along with the use of a drone, which would normally be maybe a drum or some kind of string instrument in the piano.
And how does the piece actually work? Is it a celebration of Egyptian culture? What's the scenario that you're putting in front of us?
It's supposed to be a dance, as the title kind of says, celebrating the god Menkaure, well, Pharaoh Menkaure, who is supposed to have turned night into day, which is why it is sunset dance at Menkaure, in order to live longer.
Well, let's hear it. Lucinda, thank you very much indeed. We're going to hear Sunset Dance at Menkaure by Lucinda Rimmer.
A celebration of ancient Egyptian music and a dance celebrating the Egyptian sun god Ra and the cycle of night and day. All of those things inside Sunset Dance at Menkaure by Lucinda Rimmer, our 14-year-old winner. And we're going to hear more of the winning entries in a bit, but the concert isn't the only thing that's been happening at the Proms for young composers. We've also had a day of workshops, including a contemporary composition one run by Fraser Trainor. So I went along to find out more about it.
When you get that interruption, it's a semitone away from the beginning of the melody. It's as close as it can be. It's as jarring as it can possibly be, really highlighting the effect that these two instruments have on the whole. Let's just hear it. Knowing all that, let's hear it one last time.
Fraser, how do you actually organise these workshops? What takes place over the course of the day?
Well, what we've been doing today is we've been meeting the group, which are about 30 young people who all have different backgrounds. Some have been composing for just a year or so. Some have been composing for longer than that. And we've been creating music together and looking at the ways that we can put music together, starting points, how we can work, and how we can push the boundaries of expression as composers, how we can push people into new areas of experimentation to kind of push people along a bit in their composing skills.
And they've all brought their own instruments, or they're singing as well. What kind of tools are you using with them?
Well, they've brought their own instruments because it's been really nice today to keep things very practical and very spontaneous. So I really wanted to explore making music in the moment, trying things out, that sense of experimentation, being able to work on realising an idea quickly and not getting too stuck in the head, but keeping music coming from a sense of collaboration, a sense of working from the body, building ideas together and seeing where they can go. So our tools have been, how do we put music together and find a context and a role for the instruments in the wider piece of music that we're looking at? And always being able to know exactly when you're composing what the function of any piece of musical material is. What's its role in the bigger scheme of the piece?
Well, we've got three of the students who've been taking part. Thomas, you're the youngest. How old are you?
I'm 12 years old.
And if you'd like to introduce yourselves as well.
Hi, I'm Anushka and I'm 13.
Hi, I'm Keith Key and I'm 15.
Now, was it anything like what you might have been expecting? Did you know what to expect when you came here this morning?
No. It was a surprise, but it was very nice. We had a lot of fun doing it.
And how long have you been composing, Thomas?
I've been composing for about a year and a bit at my old school. So.
And have you got lots of ideas out of this that you think you can take back and use with you?
Yeah.
And Anushka, what's your instrument?
I play cello.
And have you been able to use that today as part of the performances?
Yes, I have. So we did three exercises when we were playing music. We were given a part to play in our section groups, and then it was gradually layered, so you had more and more parts. And you had to really concentrate because there was a lot of different rhythms. For example, I think for one part we were in 8 and another instrument section was in 7. It was a lot of fun hearing the parts come together, although you had to still concentrate on playing your own, just listen.
Well, I saw a lot of concentration, and you do get to try quite a lot of things yourselves, don't you? Kethaki, what have been the highlights for you? What was the best thing about today?
I really enjoyed when we went into the rooms and in groups to create a new piece, and I liked how our different ideas managed to combine together and create a whole new piece.
So it's not just actually having the ideas, it's the idea of collaborating and working with other people and seeing what you can do together.
The ideas had like different moods, but when we combined them together, it created an even further greater texture, and the new more colours were explored.
And do you think it's going to change the way in which you think about making music yourself?
I think it'll probably shows that it doesn't matter what style you have to compose, and you can just think if any idea that you come up with, you could just apply it and develop it and make a new piece.
I was talking to three of the students who've been taking part in the composition workshops here at the Royal College of Music as part of the Proms Inspire Composition Day, and Fraser Traynor, who's been working with them since 10:30 this morning. Long day for him, but there've been some very interesting sounds and very satisfied young musicians. Well, on to our next winning entry from the Composers Competition. This time, it's another one from the senior category. We're about to hear from 18-year-old Thomas Gibbs, who's about to go to the Royal Academy in September, but not as a composer.
No, as a trombonist.
Right, so composing is sort of second-string activity at the moment.
Yeah, it's just a hobby, a bit of fun.
It seems to be going really rather well. Does it feel to you as though it might at some point take over, or are you just going to see how it goes?
Well, I'm baffled by all of this. I mean, I'd love it to go further, but...
So, you've not done all that much composition before. Presumably it's been part of class teaching and something you all have to do, but it's not something you've taken seriously.
No, I'd never really taken it seriously. I'd always had an interest in that kind of thing, and had an interest particularly in contemporary composition. But it was never something I dabbled with myself, and then I tried dabbling with it as a laugh, and the composition department at school found out about it and roped me in, kicking and screaming.
So you were sort of pushed forwards into taking part in this competition. Now, the piece is called Effet de Nuit, and it refers to a painting. So tell us about the visual image that's actually sparked the creativity.
Well, it came about because myself and a friend were up very late on a Saturday night, and we'd got to that weird time in the morning where the only option left is to scour the internet for French paintings. So that's what we ended up doing. And I knew about the painting already, and I knew about Pissarro's work already, but I just reminded by seeing it then and there. And I thought it was a good basis to work on, just as a colour, as an image to work from.
So how would you describe the process that you've used to take it from being a visual image, a famous painting, through to a piece of music? How's it sort of translated?
Well, it was very much an experiment. It's something that I find fascinating, that this metamorphosis of a thought from one form of art into another, from image to sound. It was something that I found fascinating and just wanted to have a go with. And at least that gives you a fairly solid basis for a short piece without having to focus on any real big structuring of it.
As for cello and piano, were you not tempted to use more of the Aurora Orchestra than this when you have these forces at your disposal?
I think that in itself is a response to the painting. I mean, it's whilst being very rich, it is quite bleak in itself.
Well, Thomas, thanks very much. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very
much. On winning. I'm looking forward to hearing it. This is Effet de Nuit by Thomas Gibbs.
Thank you.
Effet de Nuit, inspired by Pizarro's painting of Montmartre at night, and it's a composition by Thomas Gibbs, 18 years old, about to go on to the Royal Academy of Music in September and winner in the senior category of the Proms Inspire competition, which is where our next winner's from as well. She's 18-year-old Grace Evangeline Mason with her piece Convergence. I asked her, first of all, how long she'd been composing.
Since year 10, really, so it hasn't been that long.
Now, what about the piece you've written for this occasion? Because it's called Convergence, and it's based on a poem of Thomas Hardy's, isn't it?
Yes, that was a form of inspiration to write the piece around. But I think that the actual inspiration of the piece is the concept, which is to challenge the role of the voice in an ensemble.
Because the poem itself is the convergence of the twain, and that's based on the sinking of the Titanic, isn't it? So the idea of an iceberg and a ship coming together over several stanzas of the verse. Is that represented in the way you work, or have you just used that as an analogy for the things you've written?
I think that it is there, but it is mostly an analogy because it's actually the harmony, the stage positions, and just the general writing of instrumentation that dictates the converging instead of the words associated behind it.
And you said it's partly to challenge the role of the voice in an ensemble. How have you done that?
Well, normally when a voice is in an ensemble, it kind of takes the role of predominance. But what I've done is, through stage positions, I have literally removed them from the ensemble because they're further away from the other instruments, but almost within the piece itself, because the voice starts with like sparse interjections throughout, and it's only towards the end of the piece where it can fully converge and become the main member.
And you've used some extended techniques as well in some of the string writing, haven't you?
Yes, it starts off quite atonal and ambiguous, and that's another thing that converges, because throughout the piece it just becomes more tonal and more familiar to the audience.
And the text itself, is that kept intact?
I think so, and towards the end of the piece that's when the text really becomes one of its own, and that means that the voice is being used in the way that audiences expect.
Well, Grace, thanks very much indeed for talking to us. Congratulations. And we're going to hear Convergence by Grace Evangeline Mason. Thank you.
Music inspired by Thomas Hardy's poem The Convergence of the Twain Lines on the Sinking of the Titanic and turned into Convergence by Grace Evangeline Mason, played for us by the Aurora Orchestra, conducted by Nicholas Collin. Well, we heard from Fraser Traynor a little bit earlier in his role as the leader of the Contemporary Composition Workshops, but he's also chairing the panel of judges for the competition itself, comprising industry professionals including Andrew Karofsky, Stuart McCrae, Anna Meredith and Martin Suckling. I spoke to Fraser earlier and asked him about what the judges were actually looking for.
We don't know what people are going to submit, because the nice thing about the competition is that they can submit absolutely anything. It just needs to be under 5 minutes and it needs to be all their own work. But in terms of orchestration or the instruments they're writing for, people can send in, you know, anything at all. But what we're looking for is some craft, and that people know what the instruments do that they're working with, but we're looking over and above for imagination, some spark, some creativity, something unique, something that's really compelling and captivating. And there are, you know, there are always a few pieces that manage to attain that and really grab your attention when you're listening through.
And are they sending scores, or do you get recordings as well?
People send both. They send scores and recording, and we have musicians on hand to play all the winning pieces. So it's really important that the competition tackles that thing of a composer communicating to musicians what it is they want to hear. So that has to be done in some kind of form of notation, so that the pieces can be played.
Now, you've been doing this for a few years. How do you know when you've got a winner in front of you? Is it... does it just leap out at you, or does it take a little bit longer than that? Is there a lot of arguing?
Well, actually, there's not a lot of arguing, to be honest. I have been doing it at least 10 years now. There's usually a very ready consensus that materialises quite early on, because I think it is special when a piece really comes at you and grabs you and is compelling, and you can tell that the composer's really heard what it is that they want to say, and they've got a real imagination. And of course, pieces have flaws. You know, these are young composers. They're from 12 years old up to 18. You know, no piece is in any way perfect, but there is something special about being grabbed by the scruff of the neck when you hear something, when you just hear something unusual, or you hear someone who's really followed an idea through. They've got a real obsessive quality about their composing, and they're really uncovering something, and that does leap out at you. You know, that imagination grabs you, and then things kind of materialise as the process goes on, you know, as you hear pieces more and you see some of the intricacies in the way that they've been put together and the way they're thinking about music.
Now, what about the prize itself? Because there are quite a few parts to it, aren't there? And it must be pretty important to these composers.
Well, I think the main part of it is that they have an opportunity to hear professional musicians play their music, and you know, that is really exciting. I can remember some of my first performances and what that does to you. It's inciting but terrifying as well at the same time. You feel like your stomach's being ripped in two as you hear, you know, the notes of your piece being put together for the very first time. But it's absolutely essential that they get that experience of being able to work with musicians, to be able to talk to them about the music, about how it should be played, about the kind of expressive qualities that are in there, and they see the rehearsal process, because I think that's so important to informing the composition process later on as they mature and grow up and try new things, and perhaps they move on to working in a professional context. It's really important that they understand what it's like to be on the other side of that, to be receiving new pieces and to be looking at them for the first time, and the time pressures that there are out there in terms of putting new music together and performing it.
Fraser Traynor. Now, our final piece this evening is by the youngest of the competition's winner. He's just 13 years old, Louis McIver, with his piece Circle. He's very young. I asked him if he thought of himself as a composer already.
Well, I've been composing music since 8, so, yeah, and I think I'm going to have a career in it as well.
Well, that's 7 years already, so you're quite an old hand at this, aren't you? And how did you approach this idea, this competition? Did you have something very firm in your head about what you wanted to do, what you wanted to get out onto the paper?
Well, I wanted to make it very original, so I started inventing a few chords on the piano and just playing around with them and making a few little motifs, and that's how I started.
And it's become Circle, which is, well, can I say it's a kind of rite of spring, isn't it?
Yeah, well, less violent.
Less violent, but it's got some of those similar motor rhythms driving it along, hasn't it? And you take us full circle. We have the full cycle of seasons, don't we?
Yeah.
Describe how it actually works from a musical point of view.
Well, circle has five sections. The first is about changes in activity occurring beneath the ground, say, like roots, new roots coming. And the second and third section is about sudden rush of warmth and new life. The fourth section is different, though, because it's quite violent and it shows the breaking and interruption of the cycle, which was inspired by heavy snowfalls and blizzards earlier this year. And then the fifth section and final section shows the triumph and really renewal of plants and the recovery, really.
And what's it been like actually hearing the piece performed by the Aurora Orchestra? Has it changed your mind about some of the things you've written for a start?
Not really, it hasn't changed my mind, but it really did. It was really amazing to hear live. It's quite different to when you're just thinking about it, writing down.
Well, Louis, congratulations. It's been great hearing it in rehearsal. Now let's hear the performance. This is Circle by Louis McIver.
Thank you.
Life Emerges at the End of Winter, Circle by 13-year-old Louis McIver. Well, along with the five competition winners, there were also six highly commended entrants to the competition, and we'll finish by hearing something from each of their pieces. From Regent's Park to Baker Street by Matthew Jackson. Apparentes by Alexander Dakin. Colours of the Night by Leon Kidd.
Oh,
Circling Ascendance by Christopher Mitchell. What Wild Disclosure by Tom Daley. Things Falling Out of a Cupboard by Bertie Bagent. Thank you.
part of Things Falling Out of a Cupboard by Bertie Bagent, ending that sequence of highly commended entries to the 2013 Proms Young Composers Competition. The Aurora Orchestra was conducted by Nicholas Collin in the winner's concert recorded at the Royal College of Music on Wednesday. The presenter was Andrew McGregor.
Sunday night at the 2013 BBC Proms and Beethoven's boundary-breaking Choral Symphony. Youth choirs from the UK and Ireland joined the National Youth Orchestra of Great Britain with principal conductor Vasily Petrenko. Sunday night at the BBC Proms from 7:30.
This is BBC Radio 3, it's 10 o'clock. Well, they're not quite ready for us yet down at the Royal Albert Hall for the second of this evening's proms. Shouldn't be long, so do stay with us if you can. In the meantime, some Prokofiev piano music. It's played by Olli Mustonen. First two of Prokofiev's Vision Fugitive, played there by Olli Mustonen. You're listening to BBC Radio 3. Well, coming up at 11:30, Max Reinhardt introduces World on 3. But now, from the stage of the Royal Albert Hall here in London, here's Catherine Botts with the second of this evening's proms.
Welcome to the Royal Albert Hall. Gathered behind me on stage are the Monteverdi Choir and the English Baroque soloists. And last time we were all here was on a freezing Easter Monday for a Bach marathon, which ended with a heartening performance of the Mass in B minor. Now, on a sultry August evening, we're going to hear two oratorios by Bach, which are undeservedly much less well known than the Mass in B minor. And this late night prom begins with a work that's been described as a mix of the exultant, the contemplative, and the highly wrought. Astonishingly, only excerpts have been heard at the proms before, and those not since the 1950s. John Elliott Gardner is a man with a lot of proms firsts to his name. Now, please welcome him as he comes on to conduct the Monteverdi Choir and the English Baroque soloists in the first complete proms performance of Bach's Easter Oratorio.
Begleitet, 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 begle